All right, so and so we're obviously in the series that we started on Vision Sunday a couple of weeks ago called Follow Me. It's our theme for this year, the words of Jesus, follow me. It's not me saying follow me, it's Jesus' words, follow me. And we see in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus speaking to two men who would become his disciples, two brothers, Simon and Andrew. And he says these words in Matthew 4, verse 19. He says, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. And it says, at once they left their nets and they followed him. And Jesus did this repeatedly. If you just read through the Gospels, you'll see that over and over and over again, he said to people those words, follow me. Yeah. It's both an invitation and a command. Yes. It's both of those things. It's personal. It's not only about your present, but it's also about your future. It's about what God has created you for. And he wants you to become a follower, a disciple of Jesus. You see, the goal of our faith, as I said a couple of weeks ago, is not for us to become institutionalized and all churchy. Yeah. That's not the goal of our faith. The goal of our faith is to become like Jesus, yeah. Is to follow him. And follow him in every sense, and for us to be transformed into his image in every single way. When you read the stories of Jesus, we see him over and over calling out people, and that same invitation goes out to you and I to come and follow him, not just to attend a service. There's so many people that can attend services and can say, well, that's great, we're glad you're here, but that's not the highest call on your life. The highest call is not for you to attend church. Your highest call is for you to follow Jesus. And so our theme this year is saying we want to, for every one of us, we want to go to a deeper level of what that means. Because I realize that whether you're watching online here in this place, there's people on all different levels of their faith journey. Some are pre-Christian, some are on their way to be, are closer to becoming a Christian. Others have been Christians for many years. But wherever you find yourself, we want to say, hey, what we want to see this year is you going to an even deeper level of what it means to truly follow Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about, and that's what our theme has been for this year. It's a journey that is one of transformation. Yeah. It's a journey about being changed from the inside out. It's a journey to stand out. Yes. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. It's not just to blend in and no one knows, like you're a secret agent kind of thing. It's no, actually we're called to be those that stand out for Christ. Good. Jesus, wherever he went, people knew who he was. They knew what he was about, and yet he was the friend of many. Yeah. And I think there's something there that we have to learn as believers. How do we do that in the world today? Because we know that we actually have news that is good news. Yes. And Jesus said these words that he says, he came to the world for everyone to be saved. Yeah. And you might say, well, that's a grand goal, you know? And kind of say, well, that's why Jesus came. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for every person's life on this planet. And he's calling us to become more like him. We don't want to be satisfied with church, but bored with Jesus. So easy to get satisfied with church, and churches can even find themselves in that place where it's all about, oh, we just want you to feel comfortable. And I understand where that comes from, and we do put a lot of time and effort into ensuring that the experience of church that we do whenever we gather, whether it's here or in homes or whatever it is that we may be doing, that we are mindful of many of those things, but ultimately that is not the goal. Yeah, that's right. The goal is not for us to become comfortable with church, but bored with Jesus. Yeah. Because when you get close to Jesus and you begin to know him, you realize that your life will be anything but boring. How do I know that? Because that very thing has happened in my life. Amen. I didn't grow up a Christian. I didn't come out of the womb as a Christian. Some of you think when you're a pastor, that's your journey. No, that wasn't my journey at all. My family had no experience of church whatsoever. I had never been to church throughout my schooling life and those things. And it was only at university as a young man, which is the place where people are supposed to lose their faith, I discovered mine. And I actually discovered that God had a plan for me. And actually had a purpose for my life. And actually he went to the cross and paid the price for my sins. Yes. The things that I couldn't deal with and resolve, that he actually went to the cross for me. And literally from that moment when, as a young man, I remember just bowing my knee before my throne, so aware of my sinfulness, so aware of the things that I didn't have control over in my life. I had my plans, but I realized those plans were just so limited in what they could be. And I remember surrendering to him and saying, Jesus, if this is true, I'm choosing to believe you. And my life literally has never been the same since. And I know many of us in this place would have a similar story. And for some of us, that is going to be your story. But wherever you are, he wants you to know that knowing Jesus is anything but boring. Anything but boring. People say things like, oh, the church is outdated, the church is not relevant today. I want to say to you, well, you don't know Jesus. You just know that you might know the church, but you don't know Jesus, because Jesus is anything but boring. Yes. Jesus is anything but outdated. Jesus is anything but irrelevant. Yes. In fact, he's more relevant today than he is, I believe. Well, he's not more relevant. He's as relevant today as he has ever been. And so on Vision Sunday, we spoke about how we need to follow him. Jesus is not just good to us, he is good for us. And I spoke about on Sunday about following him. I said it essentially, there's many things you could speak about, but I said in a little series that we're doing here at the beginning of the year, I said there's four main things that we want to zero in on and unpack this a little bit about what does it mean to follow him. And the first thing was what Pastor Reese spoke about so powerfully last week, which is about following him means submitting to him. It means surrendering and submitting to him, following his ways. He's realizing that we're not in charge, he is. The second thing, it's imitating him. To follow him means we've got to imitate him, be like him. And Pastor Jill's going to speak about that next Sunday. And I know that's going to be a great message as well. Today, our focus is going to be, and I'm going to speak about intimacy with him. Following him means intimacy, closeness with him. And then the final thing, it also means reproducing in others, which we're going to look at in 2 weeks' time. We're going to say, actually, part of followership is realizing that it's not just for us, it's to share with others as well. And so I've entitled my message very simply today, Closer. Closer. Because I want us to understand that in order to follow him, we have to be intimately close with him. Following is almost impossible from a distance. Yeah. And I always remember a funny story about many years ago when we were still back in Africa, and we were part of a team. I was leading a church back then, but we were part of a team that was going to go minister in another part of the country. It was interstate. And this was in the days when GPSs were still very embryonic, and only a few people had GPSs, but one person, we had a number of vehicles, and one person knew the way to where we were going. And it was off in a rural area, and so it was, and we said, okay, and they said, all right, I'm going to lead the way, and so follow me. And so we all tucked in behind them, and we followed them, and off we went driving to go and do this weekend of ministry in this rural area, and we're excited. But I don't know how many people can identify with me in this place, because we're driving there, and I'm tucked in, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, man, they're going so slow. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You try and follow someone in a car and you're just like, man, I've got to be in front. I've got to be the leader. I've got to be the one setting the pace. They're going way, way too slow. And so inside of me, eventually I held it as much as I could. And then I thought, dang it, I'm getting out. And I pulled the car out from behind them and I accelerated past them. I think I even waved at them as I went by. I'm just like, and I'm off in front. And you know, it was great at first because I was on this big highway and there were no turnoffs, anything. I'm just going. I'm like the freedom of the road. And man, look at that. Until I realized that I didn't know where I was going. A little bit of a problem. When you're supposed to be getting somewhere, you had no idea. And I realized there was a whole lot of turnings coming up and I had no idea which one I needed to take, if I needed to take them. And so I was kind of stuck with this dilemma and danger that I was possibly going to get lost. Without a phone. Without a GPS. The good old map books. Anyone remember the good old map books that you used to have in your car? I remember when we first arrived in Adelaide, someone gave us a map book. And it was just like, wow, this big book like this used to sit in our car over there and used to go somewhere, used to flip it open and look at the map and figure out where you needed to go. And that thing was a lifesaver. Don't know why I'm telling you about the map book in Adelaide, but anyway. But there were, God. And so what I decided to do, I realized I had to humble myself and actually realize, hey, Matt, what you need to do is you've actually got to get back into line and follow him. And so I had to, my pride, I'm just like, oh. And so I had to slow right down, and eventually they kind of came past me, and they're waving back at me saying, ha-ha, we knew that was going to happen. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, whatever, and slotted in behind and followed them. See, isn't that sometimes how we want to live our lives? We sometimes run ahead. We think we know best. We sometimes think we know the way. We sometimes think that, hey, I don't like the pace I'm going at. I want to go quicker. And we kind of get out there and we're trying to run ahead. And Jesus is saying, hey, just tuck in close behind me and follow me. Follow me. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm taking you. You've got to trust and follow me. To follow means to stick close to. There's an intimacy that is there that's required to following Jesus. You've got to have him in your sights in order to follow him. It is hard to follow from a distance. It's hard when you cannot see him to follow. And I'm not sure where you may be on your faith journey, but what I'm saying to you this morning is that Jesus wants you to be closer from wherever you are. He wants you closer because that is key. Listen to what Jesus said to some of the religious people of the day about this in John chapter 10, verse 1. He says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, who were the religious people of the day, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, so he's sharing this illustration, which would be very common to them back in those days. They would have understood this kind of illustration well. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep, listen to this, follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. You see, following Jesus has to do with intimacy. Following Jesus has to do, they follow him because they know his voice. It's the closeness to, it's the intimacy with him that holds us and enables us to follow him as we should. Amen. Yeah. And if you try and follow Jesus but from a distance, you're going to find it hard. Yeah. If you try and follow Jesus but at an arm's length, you're going to find it difficult. Yeah. But when you seek closeness with him, that is where there's an ability that we have that is supernatural to follow him. What I love about Jesus is that when he was on the earth, Jesus walked with, talked with, ate with. He did everyday life with those that followed him. He went on the streets of them. He went into homes. He went up hills. He went on boats. He went into the temple. He was on the road with them. He was everywhere with them in every day, and he called them his friends. You see, the biblical understanding of what it means to be a follower or a disciple of Jesus is not just to be a pupil or a learner or one who just gains more knowledge, but the biblical understanding of what it means to be a follower or what the Bible uses the term a disciple of Jesus, which means a follower, was that it was much more than just learning stuff about. It was actually something that meant, at its very depth, it means this: to follow after another and to seek to become like your mentor or your teacher in every way. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a disciple or follower. It was done by both inquiry and observation as the student and the mentor did life together in the everyday. So literally, they would go about life and they would just follow and they would just do everyday things. It implied a closeness. And that's exactly what Jesus did with those that followed him. There was a closeness and an intimacy that was seen in the everyday. And you might say, okay, great, man, I get that. But here's the problem. We don't have Jesus here today in the physical. So I understand how he did that every day with them. But what about us here today? Because we don't actually have Jesus with us in the physical. But listen to what Jesus had to say to his disciples, because he was preparing them. He said these words as he was preparing them for his ascension. He was preparing them as he was going to ascend into heaven. He prepares them with these words in John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, but very truly I tell you, And she loved that. Very truly, I tell you. I think it's a great way to talk. Very truly, I tell you. It is for your good. Won't you say your good? That I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, which is a name for the Holy Spirit. Some translations use the word comforter, helper, intercessor, strengthener, counselor. They are all names for the Holy Spirit. Will not come for you. So unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. The Amplified says it this way. He will not come into close fellowship with you. He will not come into close fellowship with you. But if I go, if I ascend, I will send him to you. Now we know this would have blown the minds of those disciples, because what do you mean, Jesus, it's good for you to go? I mean, we've given up everything to follow you, just as you said. You said we've got to leave behind things. We've done exactly as you said. We've left behind all these things. We've given up our livelihoods. We've given up our lives. We're following you. And you even endorsed us for doing that. And now you're telling us it's going to be better for you that we, better for us that you go. Who are we going to follow if you're not here? If you're not here, how can we follow? We've done all this following. We've loved it. We've seen all the amazing things that you've done. We've learned so much. We've grown so much. We've been transformed. But now you're saying it's better for you to go? And they would have been mystified. But what Jesus was saying was that it was going to be better for them, because with him going, he was one man in the physical on earth at any given time. But he says, what's going to happen is, I'm not going to just be with you, I'm going to be in you. Yes. Through my Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then we know, just, we see in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, Jesus says a similar thing to his disciples just before his ascension. He says these words to him. Again, he says, don't leave Jerusalem, which is where they were, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And if you go read the account in the book of Acts, you'll see that just a short time after that, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the early church, the early believers, and it explodes. It explodes with growth, and there's just this incredible thing that takes place. Why? Because Jesus was no longer with them to follow, but now through the Holy Spirit, he was within them to follow. Does that make sense? No longer was Jesus with them to follow in the physical, but now he was with them to follow through the Holy Spirit within them. And now you begin to understand that actually, hey, this is beginning to make a little bit more sense, because that means each and every one of us who surrenders their life to Jesus has access to that very thing. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit, is to actually help you follow Jesus. Yes. Is to help you be close to him, is to help you follow him. And even though Jesus is not here in person like with them, he is within all of us who have decided to follow Jesus. You know, when you give your heart to Jesus, the Bible says that you receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not a Christian. So you can't just separate those things out. It says, no, you goes. He's the one who brings us to the point of salvation. He's the one who is involved in that process of regeneration in our lives and transformation. But we also, and we see the disciples who had walked with Jesus, We gave their hearts and were saved in a New Testament way, as we would understand it today in John chapter 20. When it says that the resurrected Jesus appears to them and says, breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And so in this moment, we see that they are saved. But then Jesus says to them those words that we spoke about. He says, wait, you need more. He says, I've breathed, you've received my Holy Spirit, but wait, you need an infilling, you need a baptism, you need an immersion in my Holy Spirit as well. And we know that they were baptized on the day of Pentecost in the most incredible way and transformed. And I just, when I look at this stuff and I understand that we all need the Holy Spirit to help us follow Jesus and stay close to him. You know, there's many things that the scriptures speak about what the Holy Spirit does, but the Holy Spirit does a few things. He helps us to become more like Jesus. That's his role. Yeah. He helps us to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our being, that where we are weak, He is strong. He helps us with that. And He helps us to love God and to love others just as He did Himself. Apostle Paul unpacks this powerfully in Galatians chapter 5, and he says this in verse 16. He says, "So I say to you, walk by the Spirit." It sounds like a little bit of following that's going on here. "And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Those of us that are struggling with things in our life and struggling with things that we just seem to be, you know, just battling to break free of, it says the key is walk by the Spirit. Be close, for the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. You just trying hard is not the answer. We need the Holy Spirit's help. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, there it is, following. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh, obvious. And it gives all this list: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us follow the Holy Spirit closely. Since we live by the Spirit. You see, the journey of discipleship, of becoming more like Jesus, starts with us recognizing that there's something within us that needs to change. Do you know that even the world out there recognizes that? Even the world out there, you just have to go into any bookstore and see how big the self-help sections are. You just have to jump online and see how many podcasts and those kind of things there are about how can we help ourselves, all the self-help gurus that are actually out there. And the world says that self-help, self-enlightenment, self-improvement is the answer. And on the surface, it can sound like there's a measure of truth in that. But when you dig a little deeper, you realize that there's two inherent problems with that thinking. The first one is this, is that self-help is not sustainable in the long run. You know what, I've been in ministry a long time, and there's a lot of emotionally, physically, mentally exhausted people out there. And you may even be one of them. Trying to be the better version of yourself. You're trying so hard to be the better version, and you are just exhausted. Or what people do on the other side of it is that we try and fake it. And social media has been the big advocate of that, because it kind of projects this kind of idyllic life, and we're trying to present to everyone how perfect our world is. But the reality is, if you're honest, you feel like a fake and a fraud on the inside. So that's the first problem that there is with self-help, is that it's not sustainable in the long run. But the second thing is, self-help might change what's on the surface, but it cannot actually deal with the deeper issues of humankind. It cannot deal with the fact that all of us are made in the image of God, with a God purpose, that we're all made for His glory. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, that is true. And when we're not doing those things, when we're not living with that truth, it creates this deep-seated restlessness within. That thing inside that kind of is just like, I don't know what it is, and you try and quell it with other things, but all of those things at best are just temporary in their fix. And so we think, if I just do this, I'll just do more money, or maybe if I party more, maybe this relationship over here is going to be the difference. And we just realize they're just temporary fixes. They're not dealing with the real issues of humankind. And the only one who can quell that disquiet and restlessness within is Jesus. Not religion, Jesus. Not even you coming to church is going to fix this. It's Jesus who fixes it. We're glad you're here. Why? Because you're going to hear the good news. But it's Jesus who changes us. And the Holy Spirit's role Remember, Jesus said it's better for him to go because he's going to come and send the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God dwelling within us. His role is to help us and to bring about the transformation and change that is within us and to help us be close to Jesus. He's the one who will help you deal with the struggles of those desires within us that we can all battle with at times. Because there's the desire of the old nature that always wants to pull towards self and always wants to pull away from God. But when you give your heart to Jesus and you're born again, as the Bible describes it, you're not physically born again, but you spiritually come alive. And when you spiritually come alive like that, you receive a new nature. And that new nature is drawn towards the things of God and wants to be more like Him. And as we read here in Galatians, as Paul says, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, let's follow Him closely. Let's follow Him closely. Following Jesus, becoming like Him, doesn't happen by self-effort. It doesn't happen by you trying harder. It comes by you trusting and following the voice of the Holy Spirit as He leads us and guides us. And He says, I want you to be close to Me. Yes. You know, there's someone in our church that's just recently been through some surgery, quite significant surgery. And they were telling me this account of how when they went to one of their initial appointments, they were asking the name of the doctor. And they kept on saying, it's Dr. John. I'm just using that name as Dr. John. And they kept on saying, no, but what's his name? Dr. John. No, what's his full name? And they had this surgery going before them, significant surgery. And obviously there's a bit of worry and concern about that. And eventually the person said, oh, the doctor's name is Dr. Papa Christos, which means Dr. Father God. That's literally what it's translated of, Dr. Father God. How cool is that? You're going into significant surgery. You're worried. You're concerned. You're anxious. And you now know that Dr. Father God is operating. Man, you can't make this stuff up. You see, that's the kind of thing when you, and they spoke to me and said, man, I had such peace in that moment. I knew I had nothing to fear because Dr. Father God was with me. Now, you don't have to keep on going and running around looking for doctors called Dr. Father God. But I'm illustrating to you that when you live a life close to the Holy Spirit, when you live a life close with Jesus, He loves to come in those kind of ways and moments and just demonstrate Himself in the most beautiful of ways. You see, you cannot be bored with Jesus when you're living close to Him. And so I've got a minute 45 to go. And I haven't even got to my first point. That's crazy. But I will finish on time. Don't worry. Some of you have been around a long time are like, oh yeah, we've heard that before. let me just give you four ways very quickly, and I'm just literally going to list these things off. How does the Holy Spirit work in our lives? Well, the first thing is He brings gradual change. You know, He can do things in a moment. I remember that when I gave my heart to Jesus as a young man at university, there were some things that literally changed. There were desires that changed in a moment that I had no longer had any pull towards those things. But there's been a lot of other things that there's been gradual change. And as I've sought to stay close with Him, He's began. And I'm here today to tell you, if there's things in your life that you think are insurmountable, that you don't know, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through those things. I'm here to say, trust the work of the Holy Spirit. Stay close to Him because He's the one who brings about gradual change. There's a saying in Africa that says this, how do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant piece by piece. What does that mean? Means if you look at the whole elephant, you'll never start. You'll think it's impossible. But if you just eat it piece by piece, eventually, you've eaten it. I didn't eat elephant, by the way, in case some of you are wondering if that's what we used to do in Africa. It's a saying. It's a saying. All right. It's just some of you looking horrified. How can you eat an elephant? It's a saying. Jesus did it. I'm doing it too. All right. Understand that there's a process. Secondly, not only does he bring about gradual change, but he brings about internal change. He'll change you from the inside. Galatians 5 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things start from within. You see, when you become a Christian, it's not about you dressing different. It's not about you trying to do things differently from the outside in. It's not about you putting on all these religious behaviors. I remember a young man once responding at the end of a service to an invitation to follow Jesus, and he came up to the front, and I remember he was dressed from head to toe in black. His hair was black, his eyebrows are black, his makeup was black, his piercings weren't black, they were piercing color, and his clothes were black and everything. And he came up, and before I could even get a word out, so he's responding, he says, "I want Jesus." But the first thing he said to me, he says, "Do I have to change any of the way I look?" And I remember saying to him in that moment, "Absolutely not." Because Jesus isn't concerned about what's on the outside. He's more concerned about what's going on the inside. And then when there's change on the inside, he'll then change whatever needs to change on the outside. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings change from within. Thirdly, he also brings lasting, inevitable change. In that passage in Galatians, it speaks about the acts of the flesh are obvious. But then it speaks about the works of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if you picked up on that distinction. The acts of the flesh, it's a doing word. The things we do are obvious. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you see, you don't do, you receive from the Holy Spirit. And when you receive and trust the Holy Spirit's process, the change that he does within us is inevitable. And that brings me to my final point, which is simply this. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to obey Jesus. He enables us to obey Jesus. We spoke about that powerfully last week, so I don't want to say much about it other than to say this, that to follow Jesus as he desires and it requires of us is impossible. Can I say that again? Is impossible without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's going to enable you to live in the freedom that Jesus purchased on that cross for us. He's the one who is going to help us put to death those sinful desires that we struggle with in the pull of self. He's the one who will grace us for what God has called us for. He's the one who's able to take what seems weak and turns it into a strength. He's the one, but it starts with surrender.